Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. It's not fair. How often do we hear those words? The reality is, life is not fair. Here's a simple, small example. Why can some people eat all they want, chocolate, crisps, high-calorie food, and never put on an ounce, while others only have to nibble a piece of chocolate and an inch goes on the hips? It's just not fair, is it? Well, we're well into our sermon series on parables. And the parable we heard read this morning is commonly known as the workers in the vineyard. And this parable, on first reading, appears to be demonstrating how unfair life is. Can be. However, did you notice Jesus didn't say that this is what the kingdom of earth is like? No, he said this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This kingdom has a different set of values from our world. For example, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you would have learned that Jesus leaves the 99 sheep to go and look for the one that is lost. Our world doesn't operate that way. Jesus said that a widow's two coins were more valuable than all the gold given in the temple in one day. Our world doesn't work that way, but the kingdom of heaven does. In this parable, the landowner is God, the workers are us, and the payment is the kingdom of heaven. The landowner went out into the marketplace early in the morning to find people to work in his vineyard. He found some people standing around doing nothing, feeling hopeless and useless. They had no direction. They were lost. And he offered them a place in his kingdom. He gave them a job to do, and they took it. Then he went back to the marketplace again. And here he found other lost and broken people with nothing to do. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so they went. He did this all day long. He went searching for people. And when he found people, he invited them in, promising them something they had always wanted, but had never yet been offered. They didn't go looking for him. He came looking for them, like a shepherd searching for a lost sheep, or a woman searching for a lost coin. If he hadn't come to the marketplace that day, none of them would have worked. None of them would have been paid anything. They would have all been in the same boat. But now the ones he found first are angry. And they aren't so much angry at the other workers, they're angry at the vineyard owner. They are angry at his generosity. Verse 12. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." You have made them equal to us. This parable isn't about money. It goes much deeper to what the money represents. The real issue is superiority. You have made them equal to us. Those first workers represent people who have been Christians most or all of their lives, whilst others come to Christ very late in life, perhaps even deathbed conversions, for example. When Jesus was hanging and dying on the cross, a condemned criminal looked at him and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's never too late to trust in Jesus. But I wouldn't recommend until deathbed to do so, because statistics tell us that many more people die outside of bed than in a bed. The Lord is constantly speaking to everyone in some manner or form to come and work for him in his vineyard now, and he will receive any who ask, and all are welcome, regardless of background. Because this parable is all about God's grace.
All the workers receive the same amount of pay, and all who respond to God's invitation will receive all that there is to receive, whenever the response happens. Grace means receiving something, whether we deserve it or not. God gives us full access to his kingdom, all because Jesus died on the cross, taking the punishment we deserve, paying the price for our wrongs. But access to heaven is just one of the benefits of salvation. The real treasure is a personal relationship with Jesus that begins from the moment you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour and continues then forever. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. And in that verse, many people focus on the word paradise, whereas the real focus should be on the words with me. All who trust Jesus, whether young or old, receive a personal relationship with Jesus that lasts forever, because wherever Jesus is, that is paradise. My life was transformed from the moment I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour. But let's be really honest. Those who have worked in the vineyard most of their lives might bristle a little bit at this story, because they miss the real point of this parable, that God dispenses gifts and not wages. If it's a wage you want from God, then the Bible clearly identifies wages in Romans 6:23, where it says, "For the wages of sin is death." But if it's grace that you want, then grace is a gift that we cannot earn. And Romans 6:23 goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And what is eternal life? Eternal life is defined by Jesus in John 17:3, where he said, speaking to his Father, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life isn't just living forever. Eternal life isn't just living in heaven either. Eternal life is knowing God the Father, and that is our true gift, where every true brother and sister of Christ becomes a true son or daughter of God the Father. And every Christian receives that gift, whether they deserve it or not. Yet to some, it's not fair. But that is grace in the kingdom of heaven. God has a right to do whatever he pleases, because he is sovereign. In the parable, the workers who toiled for all day in the hot sun complained to the owner that it was not fair that the people who had worked for only 1 hour were paid as much as they were paid. But God's grace is about mercy, not about fairness. What would have been fair would be to pay the later workers less than the daily wage, or pay those who had worked all day more than the daily wage. Now that would be fair. But when we speak about grace, it's about something different than fairness. It's about mercy. God loves us and mercifully gives us far more than we could ever deserve. Now, the BBC News described Billy Graham as one of the most important religious figures of the past century. In a career spanning more than 60 years, he's believed to have preached to tens of millions of people. He once said, "My home is in heaven. I'm just travelling through this world." This week, aged 99 years, Billy Graham went to his home in heaven. Now, we all probably think that he most certainly deserves to be there, alongside other faithful servants, such as Mother Teresa. But what would we think if, alongside the thief on the cross, other people are there who have lived awful lives on earth and yet turned to Christ? What if Myra Hindley or Ian Brady,
had given their life to Jesus on their deathbeds whilst in prison, and they too are now with Billy Graham. That wouldn't seem fair, would it? Surely Billy Graham and Mother Teresa deserve more than such criminals. Grace certainly disturbs our sense of justice and our sense of fairness. But the universe belongs to God and not to us. Yes, this is not how the world does business, but it is how God does his business. God is God. He rules and he does as he pleases. And thankfully, he is a God of love and not of hate. God tells us in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." The all-day workers grumbled because they compared their wages with the one-hour workers' wages. Someone once said that comparison is toxic to the soul. Abraham Lincoln was one day walking down the street with his two sons, Tab and Willie, and they were both grumbling with displeasure. A friend met him and said, "What's wrong with the boys, Abraham?" Abraham replied, "What's wrong with my boys is what's wrong with the world. I have three chestnuts in my hand, and they both want two of them." James 5:9 tells us, "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." The kingdom of heaven isn't about rewards. We don't serve God so that he will love us more. We don't serve others because we think it will give us a higher rung on the ladder of heaven. We serve God and others because it's a privilege to do so. We serve God and others because working for God's kingdom is a gift in itself. There is no room for human pride, since the only choice any of us have is either to answer the call of God when it comes, or to stand idle and miss out on all that God has for us. God doesn't want any of our lives to be wasted, so God invites everyone repeatedly in order to gather as many people as possible into his vineyard. And it doesn't matter at what stage or age in life we're hired. God calls us because God loves each and every one of us deeply and profoundly. God calls us because he created us in his image to be in relationship with him. God calls us because his generosity is beyond our wildest imaginations. And God gives us jobs to do in his kingdom. God gives us purpose, loving work to do on his behalf, not because he needs us, but because he loves us, because he wants us, because this is what God is like. And there is nothing any of us can do to deserve God's generosity and love. How different would our lives be if we lived with this attitude? How different would our perspectives be on serving Jesus? Jesus ends his parable with this: "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Some of the labourers were especially blessed to hear the call to come into God's vineyard early on. But if we experience this labour as a burden, the joy of the gift is lost on us. So where do you see yourself in Jesus' parable? This parable reminds us that God isn't Santa Claus. He's not making a list and checking it twice. He doesn't play favourites. Well, no, actually he does. We are all his favourite. We are all radically equal and radically valuable in his sight. And so we're invited by Jesus to allow God to transform our pride
envy and hardness into joy as we celebrate God's selfless love towards us and toward all people. We're invited by Jesus to look at ourselves honestly and lovingly, just as God looks at us. We're invited by Jesus to look at others the way God looks at us. And we're invited to turn from holding grudges and competing for rewards, to let go of all the stuff in our lives that keeps us from being joy-filled and grateful people. We're called to let go of everything that makes us less like Jesus. Today and every day, God wants a relationship with everyone, from those hired first thing in the morning to those who only manage to put in an hour at the end of the day. This is what grace is all about. Nothing that we can do will put us in a position of deserving God's grace. Grace is received, not deserved. Grace is about mercy, not about fairness. And God's grace is for the last, as well as the first. All we can do is receive the gift that God gives us freely, because grace is given freely. What is left for us to do is to openly receive that grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you he died for us all those years ago to save us from ourselves, from sin, from the law of sin and death, cleansing us to be more like him. Thank you that Jesus took the pain and suffering that we might be glorified and honoured through him, and that by his stripes we are healed. Father, help us to really receive this truth so we are able to reveal your love and grace and mercy and forgiveness to others in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody has put together this film clip. It's about Billy Graham's life and ministry to the music I Can Only Imagine. Enjoy listening and watching this clip.